Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason. I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant, and I still loving you. I'm walking down.
They've all been told.
something wrong with me. Out of all the hours thinking, somehow I've lost my mind. But I'm not crazy, I'm just a little unwell. I know right now you can't tell, but stay a while and maybe then you'll see a different side of me. I'm not crazy, I'm just a little impaired. I know right now you don't care, but soon enough you're gonna think of me.
That was Unwell by Matchbox 20, released in 2003 on their album More Than You Think You Are. And I'd like to welcome everyone listening to a Team of Voices broadcast of Off the Rack. I'm your host, Raconteur. In case you're wondering, a Team of Voices is the name of our group on the allpoetry.com website, where you'll find the links to the poems that you'll hear on this podcast, and also be able to meet some of the amazing poets who are gracious enough to share their words. Feel free to join us on allpoetry.com. It's free to join. I hope you're ready, because now it's time to rack our brains discussing the things that drive us crazy and touch on how they make us think and feel.
Yeah, crazy is a subject that I'm all too familiar with. And, you know, as far as how far someone would go, you know, well, flying blind. So we'll see how far we could take that one tonight. Welcome to the show, everybody. I've got a couple of people on the line already, so we could jump right into it and get everybody on the air. Hello, Pretty Bird.
Hello, hello. And we have another caller, so when you make your intros, we have one more.
Awesome. Let's just bring them all on, because, you know, I'll go that far.
Are you going to introduce them, or am I?
Well, are they on mute? I mean, it kind of goes with the, I don't know.
Everybody, you know most of the people that are on, and then we'll get to the new one after you say hello to everybody.
Well, we've got the girl so nice. You say her name more than twice. It's Sky, Sky, Sky.
Hello.
How you doing tonight? A little exhausted?
I'm overly excitable. I'm going to have to take some melatonin, but that's good. I'll probably be up late for you guys.
Yeah, you put the mellow in the melatonin, huh? And I think we have the Queen of Hearts herself. Off with their heads. The Red Queen?
Oh, is that
Sweet
me?
Yeah.
Off with their heads. How are you doing,
Off
sweet?
Off with their heads. I'm doing well. How are you guys?
We're doing all right, I hope.
Good. Good to hear.
Pushing boundaries and seeing how far we can go tonight, I guess.
Good. Glad to hear it.
It'll make for an interesting evening.
And
we have area code. We do. 419. Say hello.
That is Adam. What is up?
Hi. How you doing?
What's up, everybody? Sky, sweet, pretty, and old racket.
How are you doing, Adam? Getting all anatomical on us?
Automatic. How about automatic? I wish it was a little more automatic, but it's atomical.
There you go. We're going to try and have a little fun tonight. The topic is, you guys probably saw, hopefully that's what brought you here, that and my sparkling personality and the way that Pretty Bird makes me look good. We're talking about how far you take something. That idea was kind of an offshoot. Not too long ago, Pretty Bird had a show on commitment. And, you know, it's one thing to be committed, but, you know, that there's that line where, I guess, commitment can become an obsession. So the idea of how far you would take something or how far you go to do something to, you know, just find out the truth about something or something along those lines, it's kind of one of those things. It's just, again, it's circular thought and just one thing overlaps into another, and it turns into this whole hairball that we could probably talk about all night, but that's not why we're here, is it? Or is it? I don't know. we got a few rights. Is anybody in a rush? I know some people are up past their bedtime.
I have an hour.
You have an hour?
I'm not in a rush. I have stuff to do, so you'll probably have me for a little while. And I have to find a home, so I'm fine. Thank you.
I'm just chilling too.
It's a good place to find poems. Hopefully you'll use one of your own and not get banned for plagiarism, but we won't talk about that. Too far? Am I going too far?
Never.
Do you ever go too far?
Oh my God! No, there's that other idea too that usually comes up during Hell Week when you start talking about excess, you know, things that you enjoy or indulge in. You know, some people just that's the way, at least for me, the rewards of life is you treat yourself once in a while. All things in moderation, I guess. Pretty Bird's being unusually quiet tonight.
That's because I'm waiting for my computer to reload so I can, like, log in proper because I'm on my phone. Can't see crap, so I can't, like, follow the wall and post things. And I'm stressing.
I'm sorry. Ignore the bird behind the curtain.
There you go.
I don't know, that tickles me.
Well, it depends on where you place your fingers, I guess. How slow can we take that? Wrong night. There we go.
Wrong
night. Behave.
So, you know what, like, your topic, though, it really spoke to me, like, not for what I wrote, now rethinking what I wrote, which it's applicable, it works with it, but, like, there's a situation in my personal life where I have a friend who definitely applies this, like, with a marriage that's finally over. And I know that's a hard thing to come to sometimes. But better sooner than later, you know. 4 years were given. Luckily, wasn't more, you know. And the issue is, but, like, she's really, you know, I'm supporting her the best I can in the whole thing. And it's like, I knew this was coming, like, years ago. Like, And just, I've been watching the cycles repeat, you know, without giving too much, you know, saying too much, but finally she's done. But, like, that emotional attachment still to, like, feel like she has to save him. Like, no, you're done. Remember, you're done. You're cutting this over, so you're done. It's going to take time to start letting go of those shackles, I guess, or, you know, you're not bound to him. You're letting this go. He's going to go his own way and learn the hard way. You're no longer there to save him. And it's almost like it was an obsession, you know, like, a circular thing where it come back around where he jacks up their life, she has to save him, things are okay a little while, he jacks up the... It was like this repeating pattern I just watched happen. It was brutal as her best friend, you know, as like someone's best friend to watch this pattern just go round and round, right?
you know, that there's healthy ways to go about doing it too. I mean, it's admirable to be committed to something and to give your all. I mean, that's the whole idea behind things like that, you know. When you say I do, it's supposed to mean forever, and but it quickly turns into the offshoot when people forget what the basis of that is, and they turn it into, you know, petty whatever, and you know, it's my fault, it's this fault. Instead of just saying, okay, there's a problem, we need to work on it, or, you know, well, none of that really matters, I love you anyway, you know, and it turns into this whole crazy thought process sometimes, and it's really easy to take it in an odd direction and just bastardize what was once a beautiful thing. You know, and you know, so sometimes, like you say, it isn't meant to be, and you know, better to know sooner than later, and then drag it out and cause, you know, all kinds of pain and hurt. But you know, again, to me, you know, the idea of how far you take something like that, it's like for some people, just knowing that there's that doubt is enough, and they give up, and then there's other people that are like, well, I want to find out why, and I want to dig into it. But, you know, sometimes why doesn't really matter. And that's the scary thought, because it's like, well, it matters to the person that's saying it. And that's all that matters, is it matters to them. So, you know, no matter what you could say, no matter how much you could argue it or justify it or whatever, if they don't feel that way and they're not coming around to your way of thought, then it really doesn't matter. So it's pointless to argue. So you know, how far are you going to go? I mean, you're frustrated because you know you're right, but, you know, that idea of, well, I have to be right. That's fatal. I mean, that's just like, people don't like people that are like that anyway to begin with. So it's just like, you can't do that.
Which is why I have no friends.
Well,
I'm
going
to play devil's advocate, but first
ahead.
Let's say hello to Hatter. Hello, hello.
Mr. Chapeau.
Unmuted.
How you doing?
Cooling off.
Right.
Hot out there?
Yeah, triple digits today.
Nice.
I do not miss that.
Well, you know, that usually involves swamp ass, so that's no fun.
That's for damn sure. And that's the hell I live in. Welcome to...
Felt like my butt.
So how far did you go today to stay cool? Did you crack open a beer and chill, or did you hide in the air conditioning?
Hide in the air conditioning.
Yeah.
It's still post surgery. I'm not quite ready to go out and test the. Well, no, I like to sweat, be active that way. I'm not ready for the triple digits yet.
Are you ever ready for triple digits? That's brutal.
It is.
I'll tell you what. I used to work 16 hours in it. It wouldn't bother me. But, I don't know how I did it.
They do roast turkey.
Not that girl.
They do
caller. So I do believe this is Wayne. Am I right?
Well, I'm doing great. You're right.
Smooth Kentucky bourbon. How you doing, Wayne?
Well, pretty good. Pretty good. Jay Hatter likes to stay cool. He's been cool his whole life.
There you go.
What is that? The irony of being cool is that you can't acknowledge being that you're cool, because the minute you do, you're not cool anymore?
Right. You gotta be who you're supposed to be.
I'm just chilling. I'm just being me. How you doing tonight, Wayne?
Well, pretty good. I'm hanging in there, and I thought I'd come in and call in and see what y'all got wrote tonight.
Now, we're talking about taking things too far, which is familiar territory for some of us.
always probably. Anyway, nice to be here. Go ahead and continue on.
We're happy to have you. We're happy to have you. Anytime somebody chooses to spend the time hanging out, it's always appreciated. And, you know, love and support and all that fun stuff. We'll try and make the best of it. We've got a decent number of breaks tonight, I think.
That's all you can do.
So how far would you go?
How far would I? how far would I go? It depends on what we're talking about. I tend to push the line that somebody wants to yell at me. So, you know, I tend to go too far, I think. But, you know, the best part about that, I guess, is that it's subjective. For one person, it's too far. For another person, it's just far enough. So, you know.
I think I would at least go to the Pretty Bird's house.
That's pretty far. I live at the end of the world.
Well, you know, for some of us, 15 feet is just far enough. So there's that. Life is interesting.
I was about to play devil's advocate because you guys were talking about, you know, your limits in relationships and things like that. But we live in a land of throwaway people, throwaway relationships, throwaway everything.
Yeah.
Just get a new one. It's easier. I am much more of the Mr. Fix-It mentality, you know. So when it comes to relationships, and I'll talk specifically marriage because vows and whatnot, and it's not just something you can easily walk away from. It's a big deal. And I don't know if there is a too far to fight for something that you believe this to be forever. Now, I'm not talking if there's like abuse and things like that, because for I said the F word. For Pete's sake, run. PG-13, my bad. My apologies. But if it's, you know, run as fast as you can. I see that's how far I would go. And so you know, you don't want to stay in a relationship or in any place that's going to do you harm. But outside of that, you gotta, you know, if you're going to commit to someone, exactly. Now it's hard when both parties aren't in the same train of thought, and it's hard if there's betrayal involved, but is one moment going to destroy however many years you have together, however many years of happiness you could have? You have to decide how much you are willing to push through. And it's not easy. It really isn't. But I would like to think it's worth it, you know, and I believe it's worth it. And I know that we've all walked away from people, whether it's friends, whether it's family members, whatever the case may be. We walked away from people for things that probably don't matter now, that mattered the whole world back then, and it's painful, you know. And I don't know about y'all, but I'm kind of prideful, so I'm not one to be like, I'm sorry. So you know, especially if I was right. But you know, there's a lot of pain involved either way. So how far would you go? Well, you go until it hurts, and you see how much you can take. That's my answer.
But then there are those of us that enjoy the pain. So, you know, we're so good.
Well, you know, sometimes that happens.
Right.
So, Sweet, did you want to go first? Did you bring us presents?
Of course I did.
Hi, Sweet.
Did you want to open the show with your phone?
I can do that.
Ooh.
I can do that.
Jeff, give me one second.
Hi. And we can talk about my phone the way everyone keeps talking. I don't know if it'll be a hit. We'll see how it goes.
You encourage us to keep talking. You got to encourage us to stop.
You are on the board, babe.
Hey,
that's what
I mean. How far will I go? Warm mother hands make promises on barren flesh, soothing a fractured life protruding from cold, rotted bones. Green eyes sighed in brutality yesterday as melted in oblivion. Cosmic radiation poisoning the atmosphere outside of us, sucking the marrow from the physique of our anatomy, starry eating through our pelvis, through our sexuality. Suns and moons met over oceans and fingers loosened from hands. Lips missed kisses and the echo of kindness went deaf. The sound of thunder drowned out the noise of falling teardrops. Mental capacity is a kaleidoscope of colorful illusions. Whores called friends became part of the confusion. The longitude and latitude of life is now a triangle. An amalgamation of luxuries and sin. An alliance of betrayal and ignorance. A dance in the darkness. A waltz of lies and lies. How far will I go to keep my vows? I guess I'll stay here. Forever the clown. And Paul.
Wow. You know, I love the way you put things sometimes. You bring in the thoughts of some of the, I won't necessarily say opposites, but things that when you think of them, that there's kind of a distance, that an implied distance between the two of them. And you know, that speaks a lot to the emotion of what we're talking about, I think, because, you know, when something means something to you, if there's a distance between the two things, it's, you know, you have to go that far. But, you know, sometimes you're just not willing or not even able, you know, and then there's lines. I mean, you bring out so much, yeah, the pain of betrayal specifically is always something that I gravitate towards, because something that I guess I'm all too familiar with. It's just one of those things that kind of pushes you away. You know, it may, yeah, there's just a lot of emotion in this. It hurts, but it's beautiful, and it's you. Thanks, sweet.
Thanks.
Let me,
maybe I'll start my own her locker.
Oh, man. Well, it's start small. You could start with a hurt purse, and then we'll grasp it. And maybe even a coin purse, and then we'll move up to something a little bigger and more.
Okay.
Don't they make those out of cow's ears?
Cow's ears, yes, they were. Oh, you're so funny, Hatter. I love you.
Hey,
moo.
Moo, baby, moo. God, I love you.
Actually, it's sow with an S. Sow's ears. But oh. I'll still give you the points.
Okay.
Did you want to comment on her poem, Hatter?
Sure. Yeah. This is you know, some places, or sometimes some situations, you go in blindly. You know you're going to get hurt. You know that's the great possibility, but you don't care then. It's all one. It's all worried about now, not then. And I think it suggests that. That love, she'll kill you. Stay in school.
Sky, can you follow that?
Sky.
Yeah, hey. Yeah, I thought it was an excellent design. I think, you know, all the discussions at the beginning were talking about commitment and when to walk away, when to stay, and when to know. And I think, you know, there is a certain point where you do have to protect yourself, and, you know, Pretty Bird kind of touched on that. There is a point of, yes, you've made a commitment, you need to try. And then I think she also comments on it when it becomes unhealthier. You know, those things. And I think some people just get really, and I say some people, but, you know, me included, I've been in that kind of relationship where I stayed much longer than I should have. Because of you know, not wanting to selfishly not want to be alone, or wanting to make it to work and saying, I'm going to make this work because I can. But really, you know, in the end, it was just unhealthy. It was unhealthy. And
yeah.
Sometimes it's not about giving up, but it's about saying, okay, this is not going to work. And, of course, we weren't married. So, it wasn't like that, but still, I tend to be very hard-headed sometimes, and I tend to be very loyal, but sometimes it's to the detriment, because then people, some people can take that for, you know, as an advantage. and take advantage of that loyalty. And here in this poem, that's what I see. I see this commitment and then, you know, these creeping darknesses and, you know, you know, where it even says a waltz of lies and denial, and how we know in our gut people are being deceitful, and yet we're willing to overlook it, and we're willing to play that clown, let's just say, forever your clown, because for whatever reason, and that we're committed or we're loyal or that we're trying to hope that things will change. And sometimes it is too far. Sometimes you do have to walk away and salvage what you have left. I thought this was a great piece. It brought a lot of emotion to the surface, a lot of thought. Well done.
Thank you, Sky, very much.
If you ask that question, you're already too late anyway.
Yes. I said, wow, this is great. This is so emotional and sad enough to bring tears. Lips kisses that echo the kindness with death. Man, I think I'll sit in the corner and cry. A dance in the darkness, a waltz of lies in the Nile. Somebody give me a hug. This is great. That's emotion.
I'll hug you. I'll hug you, Wayne.
I need one after that.
How you doing, Adam? Can you comment for Sweet?
Yeah, absolutely. I love it. Powerful, sad. There's a lot of strength in it, too, the resilience of the narrator. I thought, you know, the line, of course, that really stuck to me the most. There's a lot of great lines here, but I love the echo of kindness. What was it? Went deaf or something to that degree. Like, that was like, oh. And, but yeah, I saw the strength of the narrator in it. I mean, obviously, they stay. So that takes a level of resilience and strength in that party to, you know, and then at the end, obviously, I love the end, actually, in a way. It's very subtly, beautifully tragic how I'll keep my vows, you clown. Like, it was like, ah, thank God she said it, right? Like, all this betrayal, yeah. Awful stuff, and then, like, at least she says that. You know what, I can we'll smile and pretend, but you're a effing clown. Can I say effing? That's all right, right? I don't know. But, yeah, I've got to watch my language. I got to remember that. Just keep me in check with that because it might just slip, like, without me even thinking. But, yeah, beautiful piece.
It only happened once.
So sad, but I seen your strength in it, so I was trying to dig myself up, you know, like dig myself out of the burying emotions. You're sinking me down into, and like you're strong, you know, powerful. It shows in the writing your strength, but it does show your delicate, and it shows the pain and the betrayal and all the little broken aspects that happen in the variety of ways as it gets to the end, you know. And but it's actually a greater account of your strength. I thought it was a great piece.
Thank you, Adam, very much. I appreciate it.
You would think that loyalty is one of the things that makes, you know, somebody desirable.
Definitely does.
To take advantage of something like that is just insidious. And
spit.
I'll let Pretty Bird have the last word on this one.
Or many, because it's Sweet. So, warm other hands made promises on barren flesh, and that speaks to me of repeated infractions, right? Like, I'm already barren, I'm already trying to heal from something. You promised me, and then the rest of the poem goes after that, and that breaks my heart. And you are so vivid. Cosmic radiation poisoned the atmosphere outside of us. And not for nothing, cosmic radiation here to me, and I'm always wrong, so, you know, it is what it is. It's almost like it's written in the stars, but the stars are now noxious, and so, you know, bite me. And, you know, the stars you once wished upon are now, you know, poisoning your own respiration. Uh-huh. But that whole second birth, sucking the marrow from the physique of our anatomy, starving, eating to our corpulence, love the word, to our sexuality. It's almost like it's taking a lamb to slaughter, you know, where you get them chunky just to eat their heart out, and it's just beautifully vivid. And there's something about the way you wrote that and the way you said that with the words you chose, that even though it is kind of a slow, painful death, it's kind of sultry. And I don't know if it's your voice or your word choices, but the mix of the two, it's really with you know, the verbiage that it's not Sunday, so I won't put it out of context, but it's a very kind of dark and painfully sexy verse, and it's heartbreaking. And as you go through this with, you know, that whole kindness when death and you know, the hoary friends and whatnot, you know, those are the worst kind of friends, because it takes a lot for someone like me to bring someone in and to let them see who I am and to call them a true friend. And to me, a person that I call friend is more like family. So that's just like, you know, another betrayal on top of betrayal on top of betrayal. And yet through all of this, you dance in the dark and you do this waltz of lies and denial or perception and misperception or whatever the case may be, and there's still hope. You'll stay there, feeling like a clown for now, but the hope is that things will heal, things will change, honesty will return. Maybe it's not as bad as it is or as it seems, and I absolutely love everything about this, and I'm glad that I was called last, because I was a little all up in my feelings, and I was a bit verklempt, so it kind of spoke to me.
Well, I got to say, first, I love your dissection of the second stanza, because it is so that way, and words were very carefully chosen. And I don't usually write that way. I'm usually very plain English, kind of down-home girl, but there was something about dark sexuality of that I just played with that for quite a while. I rewrote it a few times, and it just kind of came out that way. So I appreciate that. And, yeah, let's hopefully someday we will soon away. I wanted it to go that way, so I appreciate that.
And go ahead.
I just realized I made a blunder in the read. Just obviously, you guys probably realized I misread it. At the end, I thought it was like, I get it. It says forever your clown. I thought it was, I guess I'll stay here forever, you clown. Ah, that's my bad. Sorry. There's
no, that's okay. No, he's still a clown. Don't worry about it. You got it right.
It involves makeup. We're good. I guess on a lighter note, we've got something else coming up tomorrow, right, sweet?
We do. It's What If Day. As if a bee sneezed and worried about his garden, for God's sakes, what if a bee was allergic to pollen? So those are kind of the things I'm thinking. That kind of world. So please come along, and God knows what could happen. It's a what-if world.
And that's tomorrow at?
9 again.
11.
9.
Is it 9?
I believe so. I think it's at 9. I believe.
Well,
I don't know.
You,
I have.
You say when?
It says 11.
I don't know. Oh, okay. No, I'm so sorry. 11 p.m. Duh.
No,
you have to remember.
Time.
I don't live in Eastern Standard Time, so I apologize. Yes, 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time.
11 Eastern. Thank
yes.
you. See.
I don't live in that time zone. So.
It's 9 o'clock here in Mountain Camp Standard Time. Y'all figure out the rest. I know what time I have to be here.
You just show up, but with bells on. We'll follow you.
Yes. Me and my bells.
Who's up next, Rex?
Oh, I thought you were going to make a suggestion when you started to say that. I'm thinking, how you feeling, Wayne? Did you want to read?
He's got a SoundCloud.
Yeah, I got a SoundCloud. You might do a short amount of brevity, too. You can go and get it. You want to just do a short brevity.
No, you spoil me by showing up. I'm happy. I'm happy.
I'm getting back in the swing of things. I'm back well again. I'm getting the swing of things.
let's play a little Wayne.
I took all your questions and I answered all your questions in the topic about the truth and promises and hearts and dishonesty and all that. I answered all those questions. So go ahead and play if you will.
It's just, you know, where the thought was taking me. Thank you.
This here is called If I Only Listen to Me, a little preachy. With finding the truth, I would not go far. And I know how important promises are. The hearts of mine I cherish so, I did not win. The hearts came as a gift when given. Hard to be dishonest when you give. When you spread happiness, it becomes addictive. And if you have to go far to find right, I think I'd be moving tonight. Ian?
Nice. I really like this plan. I love the music shows too. That's really fantastic. But the opening thought makes me think of I won't say a catchy little phrase, but sometimes the truth kind of speaks for itself, so you don't really have to go that far to go looking for it. How do they put that? That the truth is self-evident, but it's what you get into in the second part of it that really is thought-provoking. Damn it, I lost where I was going with that thought, but it was really a cool into what you were talking about. Talking about the truth and dishonesty, this is great, even though it's a perfect, I know somebody here that holds the truth in high regard. I'm gonna call on you pretty good.
Oh, I'm honesty above all else. I love this. There's the notion in that first verse that the hearts that came through your life, the love was a gift. It wasn't something that you won. You didn't win the hearts. They were given to you. And what a beautiful notion that is. And all of this, it's all steeped in your wonderful positive outlook that you keep through, even the worst of times. And I absolutely find that stunning, and it's hard to be dishonest when you give and spread happiness, and that you make it look easy. It's not always easy to smile through the pain, to go through and look out for everybody else over yourself, to always find that silver lining, and it's just such a beautiful outlook. I love it.
Yep. I'd be happy.
That line that you just called out about being hard to be dishonest when you're giving just brings to mind what I was trying to say that kind of escaped me briefly. the idea that, you know, that the, or I should say the problem with something like that, you may be giving freely, but there's people that are going to question your motives, and they're going to be like, you know, well, if you can't be, you know, nobody does something for nothing. They got to want something. They're not willing to accept the fact that you are giving something freely. And that turns into a whole different nightmare, I think. And that's the other thing that I really...
When you give, you get a lot back.
But you know, as a pure, that's a beautiful thought. You know, there's always that other person. The way that the phrase that I had learned was, you know, when you point one finger at someone else, three fingers point back at yourself. So when you do that, when you say something to someone like that, and you're doing it freely, it's going to be accepted that way, unless you're speaking to someone that, like, you know, does things deceptively. And, like, you know, they're doing it for their own benefit, so they're going to be like, he must want something. You know, they're not going to accept it at its face and be like, you know, that was a beautiful gesture. Thank you, Wayne. They're going to be like, well, what do you really want? You know, totally, you know, crap on your beautiful gesture. So, you know, I love that you brought that up. Anyway, sorry. I stepped all over Pretty Bird's beautiful comment. Sweet, what'd you think of Wayne?
Well, first off, I think it's brilliant, because I believe a man that gets back a tenfold. And I believe a man that tells the truth. And, you know, things that happen, you know, even if they falter, they never fail. Because mistakes can happen. As long as you're honest, you never have to think back of what you said. And just go forward. And that's all there is to it. You know, I think it's one of the most forward-thinking, brilliant things that Wayne you've ever said. Even, you know, even though my death was, I thought, the greatest poem ever, I think this is the most honest and from the heart, and I really appreciate it.
Thank you, sweet.
Heather, can you comment for Wayne?
Who?
Hatter got your tongue?
You.
Oh, yeah, Hatter.
Yes, sir.
You say Hatter?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I agree. It's hard to be deceitful when you're doing an act of kindness. And you're right, the motive thing. When I was young, you could run up to a neighbor or a little lady and help them bring the groceries in from the car. You go running up now, you're going to get mace in the face.
kids will always,
and I had it when I had the Christmas ministry for the children in foster homes that had parents incarcerated. A friend of mine asked me if I had any extra toys. I said yes, and she wanted me to drop some off for young teenagers that have. Like multiple sclerosis, very, very bad, very big degree of it, and asked if I would bring some toys. And I said, sure, I'll bring two or three bags. They can just pick what they want out of them. So I did, and I met this lady who ran the thing, and she questioned my motive.
Yeah.
My motives. And I was really hurt. I go, listen, I don't have to do anything. I don't have to. I'll pack these things up and then go. I was asked because a friend asked me, and she even apologized after that was sort of uncalled for. But yeah, I mean, yes, why am I doing it for kids that I don't know? Well, what the hell?
Because it's the right thing to do. I mean, that's such a foreign concept now. It's like I can't because it's
suggesting that I would want to hurt the kids somehow. I would want to hurt, or I'm not charging. I'm giving them the toys. I didn't get it. I appreciate she was looking. She was looking out for the kids. I really appreciate that bit. The way she did it was sort of.
Yeah.
I mean, she could have taken all the toys and threw them away. I wouldn't have known. But to say that to me, was, you know, just a sign of the times.
And Adam, can you tell Wayne something beautiful about his piece?
I thought, it was very Wayne. It has his, thoughtful nature in it. That music was an interesting choice. And it kind of, has a just simple wisdom to it that I always appreciate. And it's, I'd say that in a way of, it doesn't dawn on everybody, the kind of wisdom you get with, experience that Wayne has, and that comes out in, everything he writes. It's always there, to take your time and appreciate and revel in what joy there is in life and things around you and people. It often comes out in his work. And I always love it, because there's people probably, twice his age and a quarter wise. So
I guess
I don't know. So I always like Wayne's work. I almost
Wayne's
work.
Yeah.
He twice my age, you'd be an old motherfucker. I mean, old person.
It's what I do, Rack, right? I put my foot in my mouth. It's what I'm known for. I'm a cannibal.
You must have two toes.
Can't catch a break.
Speaking of foot fetish, next. Let's see. Hi. Did you want to read?
Oh, God.
Well, sure. Sky didn't comment yet.
How about Sky?
Oh.
Sorry, Sky.
Okay. I thought, I was listening to you and I wasn't reading along. And then when you were done, I thought I clicked on your link. And it was so smooth and so just mellow and I thought it was a lot longer. And I looked at it and I'm like, that wasn't a brevity. I don't know. It just felt like it just had a lot packed into it, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
You want brevities to feel like they have a lot of meat in them, and then you look at it and you're like, there's only that much words. And that's where I was. So I enjoyed the audio for one. And of course, I really did think it was longer and I clicked it. I was quite surprised. But I think there's a lot of positive messages about, spreading happiness and it does become addictive. I mean, when somebody smiles at you and for no good reason, it feels good. Sometimes you might think they're kind of creepy, but that's because I'm so paranoid more than others. me. But for real, though, honestly, it is nice to see when people do kind acts, and especially when there's nothing they're looking to gain back other than just being kind. Really
well done. Appreciate the comment here, Sky, and all comments.
Thank you for hanging out, Wayne, and sharing time. And I hope you could stay with us. We're going to move on. Did you find something, Sky?
I'm still looking. I'm narrowing it down. I have.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm trying.
I was on the board.
You got it? It's called How Far Would You Go? It was like this. The sign read, "How far would you go?" I pondered the question that I should know, a question asked stuck in my head, repeated in sleep, lying in bed. How far I thought my life could be sacrificed for something greater than me. But a cowardice stripe my back would turn, maybe I'd run. Then I'd learn that bravery comes in unknown times to put your life ahead of mine. With no thought of being afraid, I think I know how it's played. Never turn your back to run from fear. That's how you get shot in the rear. But stand in front to let it know the answer to how far will I go. I'd go as far as it might be the test designed just for me. In a heartbeat, I'd sweep your feet on your back. You will find, surprised you would see that it's just me answering the sign. How far would I go? I think I would know. It would tell exactly who you are. But better yet, I'll make you a bet. I'm sure I would go for a Klondike bar.
Oh, look at you.
I had to do it. Had to do it.
Oh, advertising. Yeah, well, you know, it works its way into your mind, and it's happened to me plenty of times. Someone would read something, and it has that unfortunate connection to something else. It's like, you know, it's almost unavoidable because that's where your mind goes. I mean, you don't even need to apologize for anything like that, at least not to me, because that's like, you know, yeah, I get it. OCD, you know. What would you do for a Klondike bar? Maybe they'll send a team of voices a case of them. Oh no, we're how do they put it? We're not for profit, right? So
non-profit,
anyway,
yeah. We're a religion, yeah, a cult.
The opinions expressed here are those of the commentators, and not necessarily represent yada yada yada. I like the rhyme and the way that you took the question, though, because you did face it head on. You know, I mean, the sign, treating it like, you know, life itself, you know, because that is kind of the question that life asks you is how far are you going to take it? What's your purpose? So there's a much deeper thought in there than the Klondike bar. It's just, you know, at the end of the thing, you know, here's your sugary treat.
Well, they are good. They are good.
Very good. Yeah. Great piece. Adam, what'd you think?
Yeah, I think it had like a... It was very tongue-in-cheek at the end. I think in a way it's kind of like saying, like, I'm not sure, of course, as to how I took it. Like, his character's very well, so he's actually being facetious when he says, I bet I'll go for a Klondike bar at the end, because I think he's saying he's learned what it takes, obviously, and he's a person of character, so he's not going to be duped by something so easy as a sweet treat. But sure, go ahead, offer me that Klondike bar. I bet I'll go. I don't know. Maybe I lost the whole... meaning might be lost upon me. It's just that really threw me for the loop, that sarcasm of, I thought it was sarcasm. I'd go for a Klondike bar. I bet, buddy, because that's how easy I am. You own me, mister. Like, for a Klondike bar, you can have me all night. It's like, I think it's a joke. And he's saying he's a guy of stand-up character. He understands now that it's about self-sacrifice for something greater than you, which he, in the poem, is basically saying is your fellow human being. You know, putting someone else ahead of you, self-sacrifice and all that. I thought it was interesting. The end just was like, what? Oh, I had to rethink my whole position. Like, as I'm reading, but then hearing him read it, because I read it ahead of time, it was, I think I got that from it. I don't know, though. Clueless. But I'm pretty sure.
You make me feel old.
That's an awesome take on that, Adam.
I'm an idiot. I'm a total idiot.
You're not. I'll give you a hint of what I think was going on in Hatter's brain, because sometimes Hatter can take something like that and he'll write about it and he'll just keep going, and it's like, okay, how am I gonna end this, and that was just, you know, he's like, I know, and boom, he just dropped it, you know. Otherwise he could have been philosophizing about how far he would go all night long. It's like, yeah, I'll just get it, stop and get a Klondike bar.
It's like
you don't know until you're put in that position, until you're confronted. You really don't know what you're going to do. You think you might.
I think Sweet Pea knows him a little bit better. What do you think of that piece, Sweet?
Sweet Pea had to go, but everybody else is still with it.
Guys.
Can you call me before, like, in a moment? I'm sorry.
Sure. Wayne.
Yes. And I would go with you for a Klondike bar. That's a long ways to go. And never turn your back and to run from fear. That's how you get shot in the rear. I'm not afraid of getting shot in the rear or the front. I never run. I'm never scared. Go as far as you have to. You get your Klondike bar, but be sure and go as far as you can. Great job with this hat, man. I liked it.
Thanks, Wade.
Pretty Bird, can you comment for Hatter?
Pretty bird.
Yeah. So now I've got the jingle in my head. So thanks, Hatter. It's just running over and over and over since you said it. You're driving me nuts. But exactly. And but that's perfect. That's absolutely perfect. Especially since that whole entire ad campaign was people doing so many ridiculous things because the chocolate is so good, you know, the ice cream is so good. But the part that got me, that really got me, because I have long stood at the crossroads of indecision, is where you said, but where is it? I'd go as far as it might be a test designed just for me, because here's the thing. Obstacles are thrown in your face in life. Everywhere you turn, there's something hindering you. So how do you know how many obstacles it takes? It's like how many licks it takes to get to the center of a sissy pop. How many obstacles does it take before you know for sure if you are supposed to persevere and push through or give up because, you know, you get slapped in the face so many times? And there is no right answer. It's whatever you feel at the moment, but that changes because people are wishy-washy and perception and emotions color everything. And you can wake up after having a bad dream you can't remember and your day is going to suck as opposed to a dream that is fabulous and you wake up all happy. And so how do you know in any given situation when enough is enough? Do you push through? Or, you know, if you get, you know, slapped in the face 15 times, you know, yeah, my cheeks hurt. I need time to heal. I'm going to turn left instead of go straight. It's all right. I mean, how do you know? You know? And so I that really just jumped out at me. And then you said Klondike, and now I've got the earworm.
Yeah, it's like I remember a demonstration of some these martial art guys when I was in school, and one student asked, "Well, what would you do if the guy comes up in front of you with a gun in his hand, and he's about 2 feet in front of him, and the guy's pretty quick, disarmed the dude, you know, very quick." And that's
yeah.
What he did. And then the next one asked, "Well, what if he stands back about 4 feet?" The guy stands back 4 feet, what would you do? And the guy drops to his knees with his hands in the air. What are you going to do? You can't get to him. You don't sacrifice yourself then. So if that makes sense.
Total sense. The answer is almost self-evident sometimes. It's given to you. It's like the choice is taken away in some instances, at least in my head, you know. But anyway, martial arts. I like that idea. But you know, it's just, you know, you tackle the question head on, and then you know you give an answer that on the surface seems sarcastic, but really is very relevant to the entire thing. So that's a great way to end it with an ice cream bar.
Yep.
And you satisfied the heat too today, so there's your triple digits going down. Sky, you ready?
Oh, yeah. Sorry about that, Heather. I usually don't ask to be skipped. I thought this was very clever, and I remember Marshall. I think this is a mix of Woody's banter sarcasm stemmed from, obviously, Marshall, but, you know, having line sex really extends to different things. And to go into deeper thought when you think about it. It was a really clever way to stem off humor, but also using that as maybe a double metaphor and into different situations, people's lives. I really thought it was really well done.
Thank you.
Awesome piece, Hatter. Do you got a show coming up this weekend? Saturday.
Yeah. Saturday. Saturday. That'll be the next time P and I are together with Deborah Lee. My next music show, which will be in 2 weeks, I think, will be about the Brothers Gibb, Bee Gees.
Ah.
So learn a little about Robin, Maurice, and Barry.
Maurice, well, then, I got to hear the guitar after you said that.
Wow.
Awesome.
That was right.
That's okay. I'm going to throw you under the bus next, Adam.
Ouch.
Okay.
I had put Gonzo on the board because he needs a reader, and Wayne had to go and Sweet had to go. So before we lose possible readers, I figured I'd throw him up. But
whatever
you want. I don't mean to step on you.
It depends on where you place the heel. How far?
Whoa.
Anyway.
Yeah, we talked about that, didn't we, Rack?
No, there was something that somebody said that made me think of Adam's poem. There was a specific line. I forgot what it was, but it was straight out of his poem, if I'm not mistaken.
No.
I can put Adam up.
Let's do Gonzo like you said, we'll make Adam sit on his hands for a minute.
Idle hands, you know what they say.
Who's
the devil's playground? Who's up for reading Gonzo?
He didn't give us a SoundCloud, amazingly.
No,
I don't want to. Yeah. I don't want to destroy it.
It looks pretty straightforward. It's in verses and whatnot. It's not like, you know, it doesn't look too abstract, so I'm sure you'll be fine.
I can try.
It's not like it's Patrick.
I definitely dig it, though. I'm going to try. Let me get my eyes. I don't mean grab glasses, but just, okay, it's a little
shot
phone
glasses.
Screen. Here we go. We are all Gonzo. High-rise butterflies. Each moment held true, creating new bonds, poetic prose protracting protonic delights, electrons of words, neutronium songs, quelling questions of chaotic insight, promises kept create celestial lights. Shouted amongst mindless chatter, burying emotions knee-deep in lie. That's L-Y-E. Undoubtedly becoming one's master, crafting cancerous grief gratified. Secrets encourage the black sky. Atmospheric angels accenting airways, nourishing nature's altruistic appetite. Silky silhouettes surrounding sunsets ablaze. Virgil's personal infernal delight. God is the rain gifting all things life. Cosmic background interference. Matter retrofitted, contorted, concise. Repeating life in a similar sequence. Kaleidoscopic viewing, flat circular eyes. Sequential, revential surprise. Reverential surprise. Promises kept create celestial lights. Secrets encourage the black sky. God is the rain gifting all things life. Sequential, reverential surprise. End poem.
He does, you know, all kinds of genre. I think I've taken to being used to his storytelling and his over the top productions that he does lately. It's nice to hear something you know a little more poetic, I guess, and you know, not that it's not as creative, it's just creative and I guess in a different direction. And you know, it's odd to call something about the truth creative because the truth is far from creative. but, you know, I thought this was a great view on that concept and you know, the dimension of bringing religion into it and you know, faith, you know, because that's a big thing about belief and understanding as well. So, I mean, I really enjoyed this, Gonzo. And you know, I am teasing about the production and everything else. You know, it is enjoyable, but you know, this is equally enjoyed. So I really appreciate this. I thought this was fantastic tonight. Thank you. What did you think, Adam?
I thought it was very lyrical and melodic in its rhythm, and it was full of very interesting notions. it was very, like a comment to what you say, and I'm thinking of it now, what you just said, and I'm thinking of it. It's a quote, I forget by whom, but it's, truth is not always divine, but divine is always truth. And, I mean, there is the touch of a higher power in this piece. But I almost, I get this feeling like it's somebody, I don't know, because I'm literally, the title, High Rise Butterflies, I'm thinking of someone, I don't know, my head's somewhere else in this. I think it's a specific style, if I'm not sure. He's got a few refrains, and that they, I can't really, I'm not placing the style, though, unfortunately. I think he takes one, is he taking one line from each and putting it in the final stanza? I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm talking about. It was a great piece. It was very artful. I'm used to his, dang, what does he call it? He has a specific name. His productions, of course, and his, which are amazing. I have never actually, like, seen a straight poem piece from Gonzo since I've known him. Because this goes 8 months back when he wrote this. And I haven't been around that long. So it was like, I just got to know him, you know, a little bit on the, and I, you know, right, I was like, whoa, this guy's nuts. And this stuff is so cool and wild. And, and like, this is just so more like a matter of a fact, like poem. You know, it's very poetic. It's deep, and there's a lot of cool painting going on here with his thoughts. I don't know. I'm picturing someone about to give up their life. I might be totally, like, bonkos for Gonzo, but I think it's a guy about to jump off a high-rise, and he's like, heaven or hell, let it be. I don't know. Maybe I'm tripping.
I mean, you know, what was it? Freddie Mercury that said, if you see it, it's there. What'd you think, Hatter?
Yeah, now, Adam, you got me questioning what I thought, because, you know.
Oh, no.
Yeah, but what he did is the last line of each stanza creates the last complete stanza. So I don't know what style that is.
Oh, you cracked the code.
Yeah, it's pretty deep. I mean, I didn't even think of that, how you would think of it. Yeah, you know, promises kept create celestial light, which encouraged the black sky. God is the rain, gifting all things life, sequential, referential surprise. That's the line I don't get. The last line. What does that mean? Surprise. I appreciate anything that makes me think this much.
awesome piece, Gonzo. You know, anything that inspires conversation. And if it is a form, I would bet that Pretty Bird would be able to tell us.
I have no clue. I know that, okay. That there's four quintains,
no,
and the last one has that thing, but I have no clue. He did leave in, when he dropped the poem, he said his thoughts behind writing it are as follows. A promise, he says, a little bit abstract. He says, a promise is creating a bond. Bonds are what hold together the universe, and from the atoms all the way to the altos, bonds through music, blood, trauma, bonds are the secret of the universe, and therefore the universe is made of promises, which is a lovely notion. But before I go into comments on the poem, let's say hello to AD.
Hey.
Hello, Pretty Bird. Hi, Rat. Hi, everybody.
Hello. And okay, so I love the way he wrote this, whatever style this may be. I like a, and I'm, it really is. It's a lovely notion all around. His verbiage is fabulous. I like when he writes, he is a fabulous, very vivid storyteller, but I like the softer side when he writes a more, I'm going to, you know, a more standard type of poetry, because it's softer, it's lighter, it's not so jarring as he sometimes can be, which absolutely is engaging, but I love this. I love the beauty in this. I love the idea of that whole notion of how promises make up everything. And it's a little heartbreaking because they're so easily broken, but when they're not, they are, that's where trust is a deeper foundation. And so I can absolutely get behind that notion.
Great comment. Thank you. And Sky?
Yeah, and they're called radio dramas. That's what, the word you were looking for.
Right.
Yeah. I thought this was cool. I really enjoyed Gonzo. It is different from this radio drama, but I've been reading Gonzo for quite many years now, so I kind of see his fluctuations. But this piece? This stanza here, when he speaks of, you know, shattered amongst mindless chatter of varying emotions and deep and lie. It is definitely abstract, but if you take chunk by chunk, you kind of chew it and swallow it and you know, digest it in your own, through your own perspective. And to me, this stanza was the best, well, not the best, but the best that spoke to me. It was my favorite, and it made me think of how many of us kind of get drowned out with other people. And I mean, how many times we say, oh yeah, how are you? Oh, I'm fine. But you're really not fine. You're just kind of drowning yourself in the crowd, burying your emotions, need even lie. And I like how he writes L-Y-E. It kind of, it's a play on lies, but you know, lie obviously can be very toxic. We don't, people use it actually in making soap. Yeah. And I know, when I used to help make soaps, for this thing I did, we had to like do all this stuff when we were working with a lie, and we had to make sure we were protected to do the soap. And you know, so it just makes me think of that chemical, that danger. And then you know, and then he goes on to say, undoubtedly becoming one's master, crafting cancers, grief gratified, secrets encouraging the black sky. I mean, it definitely gives that morose, you know, reflection of emotion and kind of like where we fit in, and because he brought in the mindless chatter too, like, and other people, and how we blend in, sometimes we could feel infected or, you know, either way, and very lost in grief. And I really liked that stanza. And again, I think we could really take part this in many different ways, and that's the point of this type of writing. Really well done.
Yeah. Thank you, Sky. I think that's partly what's beautiful, so beautiful about it, is exactly what you said, that you could take it apart in a lot of different ways. Okay. And the
There's
the idea,
poetic device.
Yeah. The idea of being abstract is you know, a combination, I think, of what you get on the surface and then what you start to read into it after the fact. So it has to have that initial meat to begin with to attract you to start digging deeper. And that's exactly, to me, what it does. I thought it was lovely. Beautiful comment. Thank you, Sky. AP, how are you doing tonight? Did you bring us presents?
Yes, I did, but it's not very good.
Because, don't be so modest.
Know, no, it's not. I was in a taxi. I seriously was. You know, Gonzo has brought you something deep, and I've brought you something about 65 miles more shallow. This is pushing it up by me, and it goes
a little bit like this. How far does one push the truth in the chase? Do you go to Sydney if cast in the race? And once there, do you head to Monto, which is about an hour away? Or say stuff it all and head to Toronto, which is 20 hours on a good day? And you might go all there for tea, or a train might instead make you flee. Then I'm sure you could find green eggs mixed with coffee and red foam and ham, if I ask nicely, or maybe beg, like a cat in the hat below the striped dome. A matter of extent, as long as not uncouth, for how far we choose to extend the truth. And sometimes it is right and appropriate, other times ourselves debase. But you don't get to work out inappropriate unless you have committed to the race. End poem.
Wow. I love the language in this. The idea of how far you would go and you managed to rope in the cat in the hat. You didn't have to go very far to do that either, and yet, you know, you got Toronto and distances and literal traversing, literal distance between things as well as, you know, the idea of how far apart some things are and you know, the idea of, you know, when you're thinking about something, how far apart you can be in where you stand. So I really liked it. I mean, and you want to say, you know, 65%? Come on. that was nice. That was really nice.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, well, you know, I wasn't sure of it. But anyway, if you like it, my job here is done. Right.
Okay, thank you for calling Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Adam, can you comment to AP?
Yeah, it had from the fly in the taxi, on the move, I think it's pretty fair and it has a wisdom to it and it has a bounce and a rhythm and it's a great, I think it's great. You know, it's your commitment's in, you're in and to the bitter end. It's just about gauging that commitment as you enter, because don't get in the race if you're not going to race, right?
Yeah, that's the one. Exactly right. Thank
I like
you.
It. And I could tell he was listening and, like, writing as he was listening to things or something. So that's always fun, too, in AP, when he's, like, writing on the fly on his movie and, like, he's listening to the show and he, like, inserts little things from what people have mentioned or said on the board into his piece. It's very clever. Very clever man.
Great inspiration's piece. When you find it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you, Adam.
You got to clutch it as a writer. Grab it, you know, right when the fire's in you.
Yeah.
Or you're in a taxi.
Exactly. Thank God.
Adam, what do you think of AP's?
AP, when you wrote the first stanza, had you decided whether it was going to be a humorous or a serious?
I knew I was in a sort of humorous mood, Hatter, so I knew it had to be that way. It sort of bounced along, and it sort of made sense with, you know, being a travelling day-to-day and heading to Sydney and then finding my way here to Parramatta.
You in Canada?
It's a $100 taxi ride. It's about 35, 40 miles from the airport to Parramatta through the suburbs, and so it's, you know, you want to get there before peak hour, otherwise it takes you 2.5 hours to do it. And then the taxi ride will be $150.
Still back traveling.
Back traveling, which is good. It's good. I enjoy it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Pretty Bird, can you comment for AP?
Absolutely. Love the Green Eggs and Ham. Favorite Dr. Seuss book. Absolutely love it. But you're clever. You're a lot more clever than I ever see myself. So, you know, there's that truth. But how far does one push truth in the chase? And here's the thing about that. You can go down the street or you can go halfway across the world. It's all about how much you put in to, you know, the effort, not so much what that truth may be. It's how much does it matter? How much are you willing to work for it? It's all about the work you put in. And I absolutely love that, you know, it's, you know, sometimes you do this, sometimes you do that, but you got to put in the work if you want to get the goods. And it's true. I mean, you can't expect truth from people you lie to or that you don't give an ear to or, you know, and you, you, it's, you give what you get, you know, generally speaking, but people are fallible and imperfect and sometimes they just suck. But generally speaking, you know, you get out of things what you put in and hopefully a little bit more of the good stuff. And so I absolutely love this. I love that it is a fun and frolicky. It kind of zooms around to get you to that point. So it was a fun little ditty. Yes, it was.
Little ditty.
Thank you, Pretty Bird.
Yeah, there's a definitely a sense of whimsy to it. What'd you think, Sky?
I thought it was really clever. I definitely could see in the beginning. I know that you're traveling, you travel a lot. I could definitely see where the influences of your own life kind of pulled in and how you kind of just stemmed from there. And I think those are the greatest kind of poems. You know, if you're at, he always writes, like, he's just like, I'm sitting on my porch, and then he just goes into this elaborate piece. And I just think it's really cool when you can see little bits of people's actually day-to-day, because then they leap to various different places in a very clever way, in a very engaging way. But you can still see that crumb of where they might have stemmed from if you know the poet, or you know, even if you don't, even here where we can talk to each other and tell each other stories, yes, we can see the little pieces in the poem, but I mean, it goes for the theme too. If you're an avid reader to the same author, you can start to pick up on stuff that, you know, everybody knows Stephen King loves Maine. You know, you don't, it's just his stories. You know, there are little nuances that you can pick up. And I like that about it. I liked how you kind of went and you talked about Sydney and you kind of just, it's, you had fun with it, really. Really well done.
Thank you, Scott.
I hope the taxi driver got a nice tip.
He did okay, actually. Yeah. He did the most remarkably obtuse way I have ever been to Parramatta, but it was intriguing and different, and I quite enjoyed it. And the taxi fare wasn't ridiculously more than what it was normally. So, big marks.
Oh my goodness! That's awesome. How to mention your show coming up Saturday? You got anything else you want to plug, or you want to repeat about Saturday?
Well, no. I've got Saturday coming up, and then I've of course got the wonder that is Tic Mac Poe that will fit in somewhere.
Tic Mac Banjo.
Yep.
Is that Friday?
So it's all ready to go. We're just going to find a spot for it. So that's always fun.
So, yeah, awesome. I'm playing again, all right? I'm looking for another contestant.
I think you are, Anna. I think you are playing. Yep. Anyway, we'll work it out when it sort of appears, as we do. And meantime, I'm going to go and give a huge plug to the best sushi restaurant in Parramatta, Alpha Sushi, and I'm going to go in there and have some lunch with this flight.
Have a salmon roll.
Okie doke. Thanks, everybody. Have fun, Ray.
Have a good one.
Nice talk to you. Thank you. Okay, bye, everybody.
Yeah, peace.
All right, so where does that leave us? I keep pushing for Sky to find me.
We have Phil, which is a SoundCloud, and then the rest of us are on the phone.
Adam.
Yes, sir.
You want to read?
Sure. I'll go ahead and go.
You are on the board.
Funny thing. I had to change one word from when I originally... Because it did me wrong, and I thought, I thought that was still the same. But interestingly, the word, I'll tell you after.
Yeah.
So it has an assonance it's supposed to have, and the word I thought I was using, as my mind thought of it, but I didn't know how to spell it. I've always been an atrocious speller, pretty good at everything else but spelling. I don't know what's wrong with my brain that I can, you know, dissect quantum physics, but I can't spell. It's just something weird in me. But anyhow, I'll tell you after. And it's funny, but the words almost are the same. They're almost like mean the same thing, almost. Almost, in a way. It's probably they have a similar etymology. Anyhow, into the maddening. All right. I'd wander the far at stretches of despairing guffaw and melancholia, scratch the salty crust of parched white residue from tepid bleached slate blue cloth's entire sight, thirsting in delirium's try. Seek beyond the root cellar of reason, sunken footfalls in the thickened mud, deep-seated growth, toppling delusion, uprooting the mind, seemingly unmoving in fear's strangle, preserved in jars, thoughts motionless nod, break in lightning flash, epiphany's cracks, loosening the loon, my own pathology gone mad, in vagrant hope's lost shuffle, whistling Dixie with corner tune, tramps and gypsy scamps, grinder monkey, collect your coin for a dance, traveling the carnival sideshow, illusion for pennies at the freak show, dime store oddity I'd plug on. Trudge the narrows of gaunt alleys, causeway, byway, lead to prayer. Kettlebells ring loud on the beach, petition the maker at the levee. Flooding hourglass seeps through, burrowing and buried in the sands, my head searching out each granular to count them all and not misplace, remember the crystal shape. In the looking glass worn by life's cutting blow, through the stained glass sepia drippings, my crackpot ramble mantra writes. Clutch firefly glow, seeing fairies waxing with the moon. Skylight cracked window view, my straitjacket shimmy in my solitaire padded room. There is no end to what I wouldn't or couldn't do, losing my marbles for love and truth. The end.
Yeah, the end. That's an understatement. Wow. I like the straitjacket shimmy too, because, you know, that's where my mind tends to go. I feel an affinity for the crazy, so there's always that, you know, your mind latches onto a thought or an idea, and you take it too far, or you take it to a place that it's just shouldn't sometimes. There's some darkness in this. I like the language, as usual. I couldn't pick out the word, but, you know, it's probably because I can't see. The piece itself, though, it's thoughtful. It's really interesting. How far would you go? You go to the brink of insanity. So that as well. That is for some of us too relatable in some instances, I think. Well done. Well spoken.
Can I comment?
Thank you, Rick.
Okay. Yeah, please.
What was the word?
Oh, right. So, gaff instead of guffaw.
Okay, I thought maybe that was it. Okay.
That was it. I accidentally put gaff when I meant guffaw.
And what is guffaw?
Guffaw is a laugh, but a gaff is what
just
you're
laughing.
About.
Yeah.
Oh,
gaff,
okay.
Is a blunder.
Okay.
Well, a gaff is also a stick that you poke a fish with, or it has to do with fishing. The gaff and the boat. I think it's either to push it off the dock or to pull a fish out. I think it's the something that you pull a fish out of the water with. You put the gaff. You pull it out with a gaff. But anyway, that's just my.
Yeah. There are some great lines in here, like epiphany's cracks loosening the loon. Thought that was excellent. There's another one. Sunken footfalls in the thickened mud, deep-seated growth, toppling delusion, uprooting the mind, seemingly unmoving. See this long run-on. That's the way I think free verses should be written. Just a long run-on, and just keep going. Take a breath when you have to, but that the reader will pick out what phrases ends and starts, and it seems to be to me it's more pleasurable than that, and you do it very well.
Wow, thank you.
He pleasures himself very well.
Whoa.
On that note, Sky. Can you comment for Adam?
Yes, I thought this was very well done. And I think that people are a lot closer to madness than we really want to admit at certain times. I love the ending, but I really was quite thrilled when you came down with it was the shimmying of the straitjacket line. I really enjoyed. And then thereafter, speaking of, I'm skipping ahead of myself because let me do this in order. When you start right here, these things where you say, see beyond the root cellar. When we start to delve so far deep within ourselves, I think we can definitely feel like we're going through right here, the grinder monkey and collect your coin for our dance. We can kind of feel like we're in this little, you know, this monkey dance and this circus. And I really like that idea. And you talk about a carnival sideshow and illusions. I've really enjoyed that as well. So when you get down to, you're just going through all these images, and they don't all connect. And I mean, that you could connect the emotions, but you don't. They're kind of displaced at the point of reading, because you're just kind of thinking about descending in the mind. Are we internalizing this, or is this actually in a place? You haven't really set a scene setting, but you've put the foundation of the emotion and kind of like the spiraling person in the psyche without putting like a plate. And it's kind of usually when people write things, they put your setting is first, you know, you put your setting and then you go into what's happening. And because you switch that, it almost makes the effect even better, because you kind of feel displaced through the whole piece, just getting emotions, kind of feeling like pulled in different directions and having all these emotions and definitely feeling what you're saying, but not quite knowing where our footing is. And then you come in at the end and you say, and you talk about the padded room, and then it all folds together and you're like, oh, okay, this is where we are. Now I feel, but even though you feel more grounded because you have the setting, you're still feeling a little lost because of how you're connecting that setting with the skylight, cracked window view, these very small details that are very vibrant, because the person is hyper-focusing on everything, speaker, and then the reader kind of internalizing that as well. Really well done. I don't know if you understood anything I just said, but it made sense to me. Really well done.
Yes. Thank you so much, guys. Yeah, absolutely.
You make total sense.
I was like halfway through that comment, and I'm like, I'm just going to keep going. But it makes sense to me, but I know what I'm trying to say, but we're just going to go with it.
I'm just sitting here nodding my head. Yes.
Yeah. Like, I don't know if anybody's still with me, but sometimes I lose people.
No, that was great. Yeah, I mean, and you brought it around. Like, I don't want to re-comment, but yeah, you... It's like you get to the end, finally you're grounded, but now you're even like you're in there with me almost. I brought you where I am.
Exactly.
And in that I've swept the rug from under your feet. Like, I'm literally like, oh, now I'm here and I'm trapped with you and yourself.
Well, wow. Yeah, it's like when people listen to the show that don't know us, at least the halfway intelligent comments, I mean,
Well, you know, Adam, that there's the idea of being alone with your thoughts, and you know, you don't want to be alone so badly that you drag us into your head with you. So, anyway, Pretty Bird.
Halfway intelligent comments. Now I've got pressure, but okay, it's fine. There are parts of this that just got into my head, which is a lovely thing. Not my head, but that they got in there. And where are they? My vision is all blurry all of a sudden. That's because my heart is racing. Give me a second.
Pressure.
Okay. No, it's just, you know, I've been how I've been. Okay. A brooding the mind, seemingly unmoving in fear strangle. There is the notion there that it's like the bind kind of binds you into this kind of robotic existence of Pavlov's dog, where, you know, you have that tease of hope, which speaks to down here, my own pathology gone mad and vagrant hope's lost shuffle, where you do all the right things, all the things that you're asked to do or that you are teased into in the hopes that maybe you'll get more out of it. And so all the dancing for pennies, all the little things that are outside yourself that you do kind of jail you into this thing because you've come so far, then how is it not working? How are you still doing this? How are you not getting return? How is there still just enough hope to keep you to keep you in puppet mode and completely losing yourself? And it drives you insane. And so that was displayed very well, I thought. You know, I could be absolutely off base, but, you know, that's the only thing. And but I absolutely loved the idea of that and the way you kind of twisted that out in your images. Having said that, in all reality, everybody on their best day is like two ticks away from like four different DSM diagnoses, so we're all a little bit crazy because there is no normal. So there is always that.
Somebody ring a bell.
Oh, my goodness. AP posted his food, and now I want sushi for Pete's sake.
Literally... Brack and I were literally just talking for like 20 minutes about sushi before the show.
Oh, man.
Did he post the salmon roll?
No, he posted there's salmon sashimi. There is a lot of salmon. And then there's like regular salmon sushi. He didn't do rolls. He did you know, their presentation, what on earth is that lacy-looking thing over there on that plate? It is just beautiful. I'm not looking at it anymore because, seriously, it is like, you know, after midnight, and I can barely find sushi where I am, so it's fine. Especially like to pay attention to the screen.
I'll bring you some.
Oh, my God. It's not Sunday.
It was Sunday.
At the same time. Oh, my goodness.
What's the yellow tomato? What's the yellow tomato? What is that?
That's what I'm saying. Whatever that lacy thing is, I don't think it's a tomato. Yeah. I have no clue. They don't serve fancy stuff at the sushi place by me. I live in the sticks.
Could it be a cheese?
I'm lucky
could
there's sushi here at all.
Well, there are yellow tomatoes.
It looks like a little lace flower.
There are yellow tomatoes.
I'm telling you, if you come visit me, there's a sushi place in my town. It's really good. So you just have to come up here. Yeah. You'll have to deal with the cold. It's a little bit colder up here.
It's a tomato.
Well, I'm okay if it's like you know, summer, because that's not frozen.
Party at Sky's house.
It's 62 tomorrow.
I don't think that's a tomato.
Is that okay? Is 62 all
right? It's fine. That's not frozen. It's not snow and, like, you know, 2 degrees. You're fine. It's better than, you know, 97 of, like, 99% humidity or full-on torrential downpour that only lowers the muggy air to 88.
Hey. I resemble that.
I live in the land of Satan's armpit and swamp acid. It's not okay.
Milk and honey.
Florida in the summer. I feel bad. Sweet came to visit me last summer, and it was in July, and it was just like the middle of summer, and so she got introduced to the
sushi. It's frosty.
I'm like, 62 is Florida winter. It's fabulous. I think, Rack, if you don't mind me intruding into your space, I think we should play Phil so that we get him in before we go off air.
Absolutely. I was going to say, throw Phil up.
Awesome. I always feel bad because
devotion. The name Phil the Poet comes to mind.
Yeah, he's awesome. He's very fabulous. And okay, so he is on the board, and here we go. Well, he'll go in here. Oh, there it is up on top. Okay, now here we go.
This is a poem by Phil the Poet called The Reluctant Assassin. The tension is more tense than my bow, squinting down the arrow at the main kill. The sweat pours, my heart an all-time low. I fight the tears away against my will. Frozen like a statue in a tragedy, my fingers slip as I watch the arrow fly. Target struck, I cry out in painful agony, watching my only son fall without a sigh. Wretched father, conned into action once more, pulled between the life of a daughter or a son. Free the daughter from living like a whore, bring the boy's head to prove the deal is done. Caresses his son's fallen figure with tears of revenge, mounts his steed to gallop for his daughter's freedom. Such breaking sorrow is more than anyone can comprehend. Kisses his life at the tune of a nightingale song. Life suddenly falls from a tragic assassin's face. Oh, my only daughter, why must I lament you so? I take my sword to the next world we will embrace, as the reluctant assassin's blood does flow. End poem.
Holy mackerel. Not expecting that, Phil. That was phenomenal. Not that I wasn't expecting it to be phenomenal, but wow. That thought, that idea, I won't say there's controversy surrounding that. My idea of revenge for someone like that isn't putting them out of their misery. It's more making them live in eternal suffering. So I think killing them is too quick an end and too nice. But yeah, that was really dark and foreboding. But you know, definitely speaks to how far someone's willing to go, especially a parent when you're talking about your children. That's really an amazing thought. And you know, there's a lot more to that than you know what I'm touching on is just barely on the surface. I mean, the emotion behind it is crippling. When you're trying to you know, do something for someone that you love to alleviate their pain, that's really the ultimate how far you would go. To me, wow, this is absolutely brilliant, Phil. I really, really enjoyed it very much. Thank you for that tonight, and I'm glad we got to it when we did. Wow. What'd you think, Pretty Bird?
You know, he brings to light the one thing that has no limits. And that is, you know, what parents tend to do for their kids, you know, or what they would do. I would, and for me, it's not just my kids. It's any kid that's in my charge. If your kid is in my house, first of all, I treat them like my kids. I did a bunch of stuff with the Cub Scouts for years, and if I had a group of kids, I guarded them with my life, like they were my own. So I would absolutely jump in front of a bus for all of them without a thought. It's the only time it's ever without a thought. It's for kids, and I warn people all the time. I'm a full mama bear. Go ahead and do anything that might harm my child physically, mentally, you know, emotionally, whatever it is, and I will have no regrets, and I will not be responsible for my actions. You know, you do not get to be, you know, detrimental to my child's well-being. And so yeah. Oh yeah. No. Kill somebody in a heartbeat. Come after my kid. Not even a question. I'll do the time. I'm good. And
I think there's even tenets of law that allow for that kind of mental anguish to commit murder. But anyway,
well,
sorry.
Reduce your sentence, but just guilty is guilty. But this is. I love that it's the reluctant assassin. This is not who this person is, but. To see his son slain and whatnot, that's, you know, you can't just be like, oh, that's sad, and move on, you know? It doesn't work that way. You know? Like, hey, so that happened, and pulls you out of who you of your gentle nature, it, you know? It pulls you out of that. It is, there is no reasoning with that kind of pain. And you know, I've lived an unfortunate history with a lot of tragedies in it. And having said that, I would live it 1,000 times over to save any one of my kids. And that is just beautifully depicted in this. And then the ending, you know, is tragic because it reads like, now I have nothing left to live for, you know?
Yeah.
And it's heartbreaking. It's absolutely, absolutely heartbreaking.
He knows what he has to do. Yeah. It was brilliant, I thought.
Now, he's choosing between his son and daughter, right? He let the arrow fly. Now, did the son and daughter know the choice had to be made, you think? Huh. I thought this was excellent. I think this is excellent, what the thought, the storyline, and it really makes you feel there. Even biblical, there's a couple of stories I could skip in my brain right now, but it's about having to choose between one son or another, or a son or a daughter. Even the X-Files, Mulder was chosen over his daughter, his sister, supposedly. So it's a constant dilemma, or just a tragedy in its worst kind. Having to choose one over the other in life.
Thank you, Hatter. What'd you think, Sky?
You know, I think we got our next Game of Thrones writer. It was tragic. It was terrible. It was terrible. You know, I think it was, but it was engaging. I mean, it was so, in the very beginning, in the first stanza, it is so. I had the word that I wanted, and I forgot it because I got distracted by the sushi. But what is the word I'm looking for? It's going to drive me nuts. It starts with a P.
Poignant.
I'll remember it. No, like it's something palpitating. That's not the word. I can't think
Pensive.
Of it. Anyway, I really know. I'll think of it. It's just going to drive me crazy till then. But the first stanza is very visceral. It's like the tension is more tense than my bow. You know, when you're squinting down the arrow at the main kill, the sweat pouring, all these small details, you know, my heart's in an all-time low. I fight the tears away against my will. He brings us into this very emotional moment. And then you go through and you're frozen like a Greek statue of tragedy. And it reminds me of all those tragic tales. But then he spins his own of this, you know, this horrific choice that someone has to make. And, I mean, it is just gut-wrenching. And you're very, I mean, as a reader, we're very invested by the end, emotionally invested in the plight of this father. So, I mean, that's what writing is supposed to do. Really, really well done. Yeah, well done.
Sky. What could you make that decision if you had a son and a daughter and you were forced somehow to have to choose one of the other?
Oh, I'd be like, you know, I'd be like Liam Neeson. Whoever was making the shoes, I was like, I don't know who you are. I don't know what you want. But I won't tell you. I'm still you.
He goes like this.
I know, Liam Neeson mode.
I got to
choose one, or they both die. Choose one, or they both die.
I have a particular...
I freaking go in there. Oh, my God. I can't watch. I did watch that move, and I do like the move, but I can only do it once, and I really... I have enough anxiety with the kids of my own, like I can't even watch shit like that, stuff like that. I just can't do it.
It's terrible.
But I did.
Yeah.
But I went, I don't know what's happening. It's really loud. Maybe it's my phone. But.
No, we have a new caller, area code 732. Say hello.
Okay.
Hey, how you doing today?
Good.
Hello?
Good, and hi, how are you?
Good, how are you today?
All right.
Hi, yes, I'm just calling about, it's silly, but I was wondering if you can help me out through a situation me and my wife are having with my kids.
I'm sorry, what's your name?
Jim.
John.
Hello?
Sure, John, go
show?
Ahead.
Hi, you there? I'm sorry.
What's the dilemma?
We're just wondering if you're in the right place.
Yeah. I'm just calling about an issue with my family right now.
Okay,
this is a... Wait. Before we get into it, this is a poetry show where we're reading and commenting on poetry. Are you sure you've got the right number?
Happen.
Oh, yeah, Blog Talk Radio. Love it.
Yeah. Yeah. I try to help.
Zach, it's up to you. It's your show.
Yeah.
If you think we could help.
Yeah. What's the problem?
It dropped.
Yeah.
You had the wrong, you called the wrong number, huh?
Probably.
I wanted to know what the problem was.
Sorry, John. Sorry, John.
Well, we only have a few minutes left, and so, Sky, are you ready to read?
Oh, yes. All right. I'm sorry to bring you guys down to a dark place, but this is where I just kept going back to this piece. I've never read it live. I only read it once on air, and it was in a recording, and I wasn't in the show. But here we go. I don't know why. I just kept gravitating towards this piece with your topic. So this is called The Silverware Drawer Used to Have Spoons. Now there's just a sign of caution, sharp objects. At 2 a.m., your dresser drawer was empty, the one in which you threw random bits, shut and thought put away. And when I woke, I wondered if you tired of filling it with silver ink, a printer of quarters spitting out all the things you thought people wanted to buy. Those little lies made a clay foundation. Those promises you broke inside yourself. Maybe they weren't broke, rather stolen. Origami scarecrows folding in on themselves like paper nightmares of sawdust and mache. Words that bore in, dressing themselves in green cloaks, rooting like hemlock trees when night fell. A banquet of self-hate and hidden journals. They were unreadable, those wet foundations of blue, fountains of blue, those jukebox wasps parachuting like termites, raining down broken filament lighting. I rarely ever saw those hazel branches reaching out and blinking the tent, tickled like radium-style acrylic, a toxic zinc taste of metal, graffiti in a marmalade of trauma. But I knew those underground tapestries, those waterlogged caverns full of hieroglyphics, those ventilation shafts you used when triggers would pound like mallets on xylophone keys and the spine of your thoughts. And I knew I wasn't wanted. But oh, when those eyes brightened, when those roots gathered back, when you drank me like an elixir, untapped me like a worn lantern necklace and buried your worries within my soul, I knew there was no part of your being too broken or too dark for yourself. I think about the when your grief was caught off guard and your smile was made of something other than fabric. But then I think of that morning when I woke to your dresser drawer and when you thought perhaps a few spare things was all you might need. When 5 a.m. was too late to pour that and chest back in the bin. I threw it away. That blade remains as your own. But it doesn't matter. Silverware drawer still has a sign of the caution, sharp object. And home.
Wow.
You got less than a minute.
So this is your own Hurt Locker?
Yeah, no kidding.
It's a silverware drawer.
If wow. you say, if you see the topic in caves where Never Sun has shown, it is like darker, right?
No, I could definitely see the darkness. I mean, wow. There's a lot of pain in this, I think. Just starting with the idea of there used to be spoons in the silverware drawer. That thought about, you know, sorting things and you know, what belongs in there, what's proper, what you normally find in there, and how, you know, slowly things change and you know, well, there's a lot involved in this. It's very deep. Let me, before we open everything up for comments, let me just thank everybody real quick for calling. I'm probably already off the air because, like Catter said, it was only a minute. But, you know, I thank everybody for calling. I appreciate you being able to spend the time and hanging out. It's, you know, it's a lot of fun to be able to take an idea and expound upon it and talk about it all night long. And it's very much appreciated, you know, everyone that called and spent time and hung out and wrote and just, you know, commented. Very much appreciated. And let me open the floor for some in-depth comments for you, Sky. Start with Adam. What'd you think?
I'm still digesting this as of now, but I'm really like trying to soak in these very visceral images. Like the writing is stellar, so let's just speak on these things first. The writing's excellent. The imagery is unique, just like jaw-droppingly. Like, wow, what an image you just made with this line or this couplet or this verse. And then I'm just right now I'm just in the process of reading it to unpack things. I feel like there's definitely is a lot of pain in this, obviously, and I'm wondering, you know, to myself, you know, what is the meaning still, because I'm taking my time with this, since I am kind of like a secret fan of Scars, so I like to really take a lot of time because I know there's a lot here. But it's stellar so far, well, like from just my light, just the light off the top skim. It's potent.
Thank you.
You're a secret fan. I'm Rack Skystalker, so there's that. Hatter, what do you think of Sky's brilliance?
You know, I'll say it again. She makes us all look good. I agree with Adam. Sky writes in a manner sometimes. It's like Kay. Kay writes the same way. It's so deep, so many meanings that you know you've missed. You go back and try to figure it out. Sometimes it's just rhyming, but usually it's not. You guys write more on a free